الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. We begin by praising Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We seek His guidance, we seek His assistance, we seek His love, and we put our complete trust and reliance in Allah. Because of that deep trust we have in Allah, we go to Him alone, seeking His protection from whatever thoughts come into our minds, and we seek His protection from whatever poor choices we have made in this life. I bear witness that there is nothing in this universe worthy of serving, of bowing before, of submitting to, except for Allah. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and his final messenger. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah, and be in awe of Allah. In a way, Allah has a right that you be in awe of Him. And do not allow yourself to leave this life unless you leave in a state of submission, in a state of Islam. وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, be mindful of Allah and always speak words that are accurate and true. In doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our shortcomings and our mistakes. And whoever obeys the guidance of Allah and His Messenger, then he or she has achieved the ultimate success. Wa ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'u al-basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, exalted is the one who took His servant during a portion of a night from the sacred masjid in Mecca, Masjid al-Haram, to the sacred masjid in Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surrounding areas that we have blessed, so that we may show Him from our signs. Indeed, He is the one who sees and the one who hears everything. On a quiet night, 1 year before the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was awoken by Jibreel alayhi salam and taken to the Kaaba. And he was told at that moment to embark on a journey that the world has never seen before and will never see after. It was a special journey from a sacred, special place. He took a special creature accompanied by a special guide to a special place to meet a special guest to get a special gift. What happened? Many of us know. He rode al-Buraq, this small animal, like a horse, like a donkey, like a mule, that its gallop was further than the eyes could see. And it took him from that night in Mecca to Jerusalem, where when he got there, Jibreel alayhi salam told him to head into Masjid al-Aqsa. And when the Prophet ﷺ went there, he saw all the prophets had been resurrected. And he was commanded to go and lead them in two rak'ahs. And then Jibreel ﷺ took him up to the heavens to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get the special gift of salah. This incident, my dear brothers and sisters, cements in the heart and the mind of the believer the importance of this sacred land. It cements the relationship between salah that we beautifully enjoyed this last month. The five salawat and the taraweeh and all the beautiful aspects that we enjoyed in Ramadan. It cements the relationship between our salah and Jerusalem. It was the first of our qiblas. The Muslims, when they first were taught to pray by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not pray to the Kaaba. They prayed to the direction of Jerusalem and Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Allah changed the ruling after they migrated in the second year. It is the place on this earth where Allah chose the Prophet to ascend to get the command of Salah. It is a place the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ led the most noble, exquisite Salah in the history of humanity, leading the Prophets. And as we speak about all of this, every time you pray, you should be reminded about the significance of Jerusalem and Masjid al-Aqsa, because we know what's happening there today, my dear brothers and sisters. And while we rejoiced in Eid yesterday, and we should have rejoiced in Eid, we rejoiced and celebrated our month of worship, of our fasting, of our tilawah of Quran, of our standing for Salah and our Qiyam. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, that is an accomplishment and a celebration worthy regardless of what's happening in the world, which is why our brothers and sisters who were in Palestine, who even had their houses destroyed, were also celebrating it. It's not that because something bad is happening in the Muslim world that we never can celebrate anything, or else there will never be a celebration. There will always be pain and suffering in the world. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should tie the incidents together and see what is happening. Ramadan is a month of resiliency. It is a month that we learned to control ourselves from the feeling of hunger and thirst, to be resilient and say, I'm not going to give in. We learned to persevere through our fatigue and our lack of sleep to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a time where we learn to become spiritual warriors, capable of repelling anything that enters into our hearts other than Allah, so we may be prepared to deal with the challenges of life. And while we were here enjoying the salah in the peace and comfort of the masjid with a beautiful recitation in the background, our brothers and sisters in Palestine were at Masjid al-Aqsa or in their houses in the surrounding area, but their background had bombs, they were hearing bullets, and they were hearing tear gas being dropped upon them. But subhanAllah, I'm not here to say that we had a better experience. Rather, if you look at the images and you watch the videos, I was shocked myself. If you've seen them, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, go watch them. You see images of people, Muslim brothers and sisters, standing there in the masjid. And around them, you see smoke, you see IDF criminals and terrorists. And they're sitting there in the deepest khushua. There are gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, His servant, is able to worship in any circumstance. And you might be wondering, and many of you have heard the messages throughout Ramadan the last few weeks, but I really want to dedicate this topic today to the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa in the life of a Muslim and Jerusalem. Because it's not just about the conflict that's happening today. This conflict has been happening for 73 years. It has been happening throughout the history of the world. For hundreds of years previously, Jerusalem would fall and it would rise. The Muslims would have it, they would lose it. But really to shake in our hearts this feeling that no matter what is happening, we need to care about this place. We need to have our hearts attached to this place. And we need to have this place and its inhabitants in our dua continuously. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, so many hadith, he spoke about it. He said, don't make a special journey to the masjid except to three. To Mecca, to Medina, and to Jerusalem. A salah there is worth 500 times more salah elsewhere. And there's so many narrations, I could spend the whole khutbah on it, but that should suffice that this is a place that matters. And it's not just a place that is sacred. Ramadan, what it taught us was an ayah that comes to life. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum wa'alamu anna allaha yahulu bayna almar'i wa qalbih wa annahu ilayhi tuhsharun. Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, O you who believe, respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. What is it that gives us life? Part of it is our worship. This is why we hate to see Ramadan leave. I mean, it really is a paradox to think that a time of fatigue, of sleep deprivation, you're depriving yourself of food and thirst, you're standing up late at night, is a time that people yearn for. Which tells us that we feel a sense of living during that time. And if you could have exchanged Ramadan and said, I'm going to instead stay up late at night and I'm going to watch Netflix and I'm going to do all kinds of things and I'm going to eat and drink and have a good time, we would all feel miserable. Because that's not how Allah created us to live a life worth living. And the same way we respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger when He says, get up for salah and get up for sahur and to give up food and drink, we also have to learn to get up to the call of Allah and His Messenger for other purposes. And one of those purposes is to speak out and defend Islam, defend the sacred places of Islam, and to defend the honor and the blood of Muslims. And so Ramadan teaches us to be resilient and to be strong and capable regardless of what the call is. And what's interesting is in the history of Islam, the enemies of Islam have always tried to use Ramadan as a time to exploit what they think is the weakness of the Muslims. We had Battle of Badr was in Ramadan. The Battle of Khandaq took place in Shawwal, but the Muslims prepared in the month of Ramadan. And this criminal, cowardly attack on Masjid al-Aqsa and Sheikh Jarrah, right now the neighborhood, was in Ramadan. Why? They think that somehow we're going to be weak. Yet you see, subhanAllah, how Allah gave them resiliency and strength to stand up and say, whether we're fasting or not is irrelevant. Yes, we break the fast if we're physically fighting. The Muslims did that in Badr and other times. But this is a time that we learn to be spiritual warriors. We don't fear anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going on, my brothers and sisters? And how do we gain life by caring about this cause? Number one, the blood of the Muslim is valuable. There's many ahadith about it, more valuable than the Kaaba. So even if there was nothing to do with Masjid al-Aqsa and the sacred land, it's still a worthy cause to speak about, to defend, and to give a life worth fighting for. But on top of it, that we have a sacred place there, it matters even more so. It is a place the whole ummah can unite upon. So what has been going on? For 73 years, my dear brothers and sisters, since 1948, I feel like it was yesterday, or we said it was 50 years ago. And now we're saying it's 73, and in no time, it might be 75 and 100. May Allah alleviate the pain and suffering of the Muslims and give us back Al-Aqsa. But it's not simply the occupation of a land. People can go on a land and occupy it. But it is a systematic ethnic cleansing of a people, of our people, of our brothers and our sisters. For 73 years, slowly and systematically. Because you can kill a million people in a war and drop bombs all over the place and wipe out a population. But you can also terrorize people day after day, year after year, decade after decade, until you wipe a people out as well. And this is what has been happening. And that brings us to the events of Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood right now. What is happening? Since 2002, this is a land in East Jerusalem. And East Jerusalem is a place that, by international law, belongs to the Palestinians. Since 2002, the criminal terrorist Zionist regime has been slowly expelling Palestinians from their land. They'll take a dozen families and try to move them out. They'll take 10 other families another year. And now what's happening is that the residents said, enough is enough. You are not going to kick us out of our homes. And they protested. And in response, they were shot at. You know, they say rubber bullets. This Western criminal media uses these terms to sanitize the disgusting things that they do. Rubber bullets. Makes it sound like a Nerf gun. These are lead bullets, 80% lead, simply coated in rubber, that still kill, that still cause brain damage, blindness, and all kinds of other crimes against humanity. And because the residents of the neighborhood said, we're not going to allow you to expel us from our homes that we have been for many years. And many of those residents actually had to move there when they got kicked out of their homes in 1948. So they got kicked out in 48 and they moved to this neighborhood and now they're being kicked out again. They said, enough is enough. And for that, they're being fought and they're being expelled and they're being demonized in the media. And then people talk about this nonsense of, well, you know, they should be more peaceful. We call on both sides to de-escalate. Wallahi, if someone came into your house today and said, get out of your house, would you just give them your deed? If you did, you're a coward and you don't deserve your house. I won't say, here you go. Here's the deed to your house. You want it? It's yours. You say, get out of here. And if they didn't leave, you would probably punch them. And you have the right to defend yourself. So we should not fall into this game of saying, well, the Palestinians, they have to be peaceful all the time. Why should you have to be peaceful when people are terrorizing and killing you every single day? That's nonsense, and we should not fall into that trap. This, the media, as Malcolm said, if you're not careful, they'll have you loving the oppressor and hating the oppressed. And you hear our disgusting politicians, from Biden, the president, to Andrew Yang, who's running for mayor, siding with the Israelis, not acknowledging the Palestinians' loss in any of this stuff. And we sit there, and we need to be loud and clear in our hearts, first and foremost, that what is happening? This is not a conflict between two sides. When you're in your house sitting with your family and someone comes to kick you out, there's not two sides that are fighting right now. There's not a conflict between two factions. There is one aggressor and there's one victim here. An innocent victim. And if that innocent party fights back, they're not equal in their transgression. In fact, they're justified and rewarded. And if they die, they die as a martyr. And even in this country, if you die fighting for your land, there's laws to protect you from fighting for your land. And so for 73 years, this has been going on. And for 2002 in this neighborhood, they've kicked out hundreds of people since 2002. So every year or every few years, you kick out 10 families, 20 families, 30 families. In 20 years, there's nobody left. And you've ethnically cleansed a people out of the land. And so what are we to do and what are we to think? Inshallah, in the second part of the khutbah, we'll unpack more of this. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ لَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ أَتَائِبُ مِنَ ذَنْبِي كَمَا لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ فَدَوَ اللَّهُ الحمد لله وكفى وصلاة وسلاما على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من ولا هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. My dear brothers and sisters, the first thing that we have to get very clear in our minds is the mental block that the Muslim world has today is that because we are perhaps militarily weak, because the enemy looks like they're large and they're modern with their weapons, that somehow they're invincible. And this has never been the case in Islamic history, that just because we have less soldiers or less weapons or less political support, that somehow victory cannot come to us. I wanted to speak about one battle today, some of you might not have heard about, that I think is very relevant, because it's, to me, very similar in terms of the political situation that we're facing today, which is the Battle of Ain Jalut. In the year 1260, this occurred. And the Mongols at that time were ruling the land. They had fought the different Islamic states, had taken over many of them, had destroyed much of Asia and conquered it, and they were seeking global domination, the same way some of these Western powers are seeking it. And they went to, at that time, one of the sultans of the Mamluk Empire. His name was Saif al-Din Qutuz. And they sent him a letter. I want to read to you the paragraph from the letter because it sounds like Netanyahu wrote it. He said, "To Qutuz the Mamluk, who fled to escape our swords, you should think of what has happened to other countries and submit to us. You cannot escape from the terror of our armies. Where can you flee? What road will you use? Our horses are swift. Our arrows are sharp. Our swords are like thunderbolts. And our soldiers are as numerous as the sand. Fortresses will not detain us, nor armies will stop us. Your prayers to God will not avail you against us." He said, "Hasten your reply before the fire of war is kindled. We shall shatter your mosque and reveal the weakness of your God, and we will kill your children and your old men together." So that was a message that he sent this Mongolian power, Hulagu Khan, descendant of Genghis Khan, to Saif al-Din Qutuz. And he was at that time ruling Cairo. What did he do? Many Muslim leaders today who are cowards, they'll come up with some diplomatic way to get out of this conflict. He took the envoys, he slaughtered their heads, and he stuck them on the gates, the Bab Zuwayla in Egypt, in Cairo. And then he said, he called on the emirs of the Muslim Ummah to get up and to go to Gaza and to go and fight the Mongols there. And the emirs were getting weak. A lot of them were weak. They're enjoying the riches of this life. They're enjoying the taxes that were coming in. And he sent them a letter saying that if you're going to be cowardly and not fight, I will go myself and you can bear the sin of ignoring the women who are there being terrorized. And alhamdulillah, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this battle that he took upon himself with other parties in the Muslim Ummah, they destroyed the Mongols, and that was the beginning of the decline of their Ummah, of their civilization in 1260. You have a Muslim leader who didn't say, my God, this scary army with more weapons, all these things. Victory for the Muslim comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't come from the weapons you have. It doesn't come from the political parties you have, what political, you know, packs that you're behind, so on and so forth. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes from the sincerity of the heart. It comes from the dua of the Muslims. It comes from the desire of the ummah. And this is always how it's been. How many stories in the Quran do we have? How many, as Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many small armies have defeated big armies by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing, because if we're mentally defeated, there's nothing you can do, is to have that strength and resolve in your heart that these criminals, they're insignificant. They're insignificant. And you know what? The Palestinians know that. Because they can take rocks and they can throw it at them when they have tanks and they have weapons aimed at them. But for many of the other Muslims around the world, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to say anything. If I say something, what is my boss going to say? He's Jewish. What is my classmate going to say? He's also Jewish. It doesn't matter what religion your classmate or your boss or anybody is. Haq is haq. And so the first thing is, don't be mentally weak. Number two, and you've heard this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. Dua, don't take it lightly. It is not this like, yes, yes, make dua, but now do the real work. Sometimes I think this message comes across in many of the political advocacy that Muslims do. Make dua, quickly do your dua, now go and vote, now go and march, as if that is where the victory comes from. I'm not saying don't do any of that. That's part of it. But the dua that is sincere, with tears, late at night, that is more valuable than any weapon or any politician or anything else in this world. And this is the first sign of our sincerity if we care about this issue. Is to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly. Not just, yes, for the Palestinians who are there. That is number one what matters, because their blood and honor are more important than anything else. But number two, also for the sanctity of Islam. This is a pillar of Islam in the world. And if scholars have always said throughout Islamic history, the Muslim Ummah, you can check its pulse by looking at what's happening in Jerusalem. If the Muslims care about Jerusalem, the Ummah is usually in a good state. And if the Muslims are asleep, then you know that the Ummah is not doing very well. So it starts with my heart and your heart. It does not start with the UN. It does not start with anything else. Because we make up the Ummah. Sincere dua regularly for the orphans, for the women, for the children, for the mujahideen. Yes, I said it, for the mujahideen. The people who are actually fighting. If you can have IDF soldiers walking around proudly, and they can say, walk, and I remember at UCI, they used to walk around proudly. We can't say, may Allah give victory to the Palestinians who are fighting against the aggression. May Allah give them victory and have them destroy the IDF. No, I mean? It really is an issue of the heart. And the reason why, personally for me, it matters so much is when I was young, I realized I had been taught a lie my entire life. And I went to college, you just watch CNN, and you watch, you know, Fox News, and you watch ABC, and you're told, yeah, these are two parties are fighting, they're both wrong, this side shoots that side, this side bombs that side. And I grew up thinking, yeah, yeah, you know, I know they're Muslims, but they're also doing wrong things. And when you realize the lie you have been fed, then it hurts. Man, am I that simplistic? And then do I do anything about it? Am I willing to put words behind it? Or am I just going to say, you know, yeah, Allah, I just want to live comfortably. I just want a good job. I want to be able to work 8 to 5. And then I want to be able to go to Costco on the weekend and buy my groceries and take my kids to the park. And that's my life. Give me another reason to live, ya Allah. And Allah is giving us reasons to live. There are causes in the world. So number one, be mentally strong. Number two, make serious dua regularly. And know that dua is more important than anything else. There are stories in Islamic history about armies and about leaders of armies who were being told that we need more money for soldiers and more weapons. And there was, of course, stipends for the ulama and for the students of knowledge that they could have reduced to fund the army. And they refused. They said that the dua of those Muslims in their homes is as valuable or more valuable than what the soldiers are doing. And those generals, they had victories. They were not simpletons. You say, oh, you know, you simple people think that through dua you're going to win, when in reality, it's going to be the strength of the army. So sincere dua. Number two, three, speaking out against it as a sign of faith. Speaking out against it as a sign of faith. Whether it's your peers in your classrooms, whether it be your colleagues at work, whether it be your friends, no matter who it is. You know, people all over the place, Muslims are very good at supporting Black Lives Matter and all the other aggression in this country. Why? Because it's politically correct to say that. It's politically correct to say that I support the dignity of the life of a black man and a black woman. But it's not politically correct to support the life of Palestinians, which is why many Muslims don't say anything. And this is where I ask myself and the rest of you, that are we only woke when it's in vogue and popular? Or is it something we deeply believe in from our heart, regardless of who says what? Regardless of who says what? And for all those who worry that somehow by speaking out you're going to get in trouble, I'm here to say, most likely you will not get in trouble, you're scared for nothing. But even if you do get in trouble for something, that is good. It is rewarded, and Allah will find a way to bring you victory. I'll give you some examples. Whether it be from, especially from my own experience in Orange County, where Muslim students for the last 20 years have spoken out tremendously against these issues. And some of them went to jail over it years ago. And I'll tell you right now, I know all those brothers and sisters who were involved in that. Some of those brothers went to Harvard Law School after that. Some of them run, you know, national organizations. Some of them work for CARE supporting Islam. None of them are sitting there, bicharas, miskeens, sitting there, because I spoke out against Palestine, I don't have a life. They're all doing just fine. I remember when I was there in the university, they were bugging us day and night to stop and just giving us the hard time, the FBI harassing us. And today, I teach there in that same university. Allah takes care of people who take care of what He asks us to do. Just don't worry about offending your neighbor or your colleague or your boss. Say what needs to be said and anticipate the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing, because of time is running out, is giving your money. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked by the companions about going to Al-Aqsa and doing stuff in Al-Aqsa. And he said, if you can go there and pray, then go there and pray. And if you cannot, he said, give money to at least light the oil, the lamps that are in the masjid. Giving our wealth to the defense of Islam and the Muslims. There are orphans to sponsor. There are doctors to help there. There are scholarships for students. There are infinite number of causes in Palestine you can support. And you have no idea, and none of us know, if through those contributions, it is a step in empowering a generation that will then kick out these criminal Zionists from their land, and you and I will get the reward for that. Have that yaqeen in Allah, that Allah, I will do it. It seems, you might think, oh, what is it? What is $5 going to do against the U.S. giving billions of dollars? There is barakah in a dollar that you give with sincerity that is more valuable than a billion that is stolen and given to the Israeli army. And the last comment I'll make before we leave is to wisen up to the political doublespeak. Muslims have cozy to the Democratic Party for many years. if we view them like our savior at times. And you see, Biden, what did Biden say? He threw us all under the bus. What did Andrew Yang say, who many Muslims wanted to vote for as president? He said, I stand behind the Israelis completely. Don't expect the political parties to support the cause of Islam and the Muslims. Again, I'm not saying don't be involved in any sort of political action. Go and support and sign the petitions. Call your congressmen or congresswomen. Do all of that. This is part of it. And there has been a shift in the last 20 years. I just saw some data from Gallup. The Democratic Party, there's been a slight shift, about 20% more likely to be put pressure on Israel. But that's not going to be the solution. So stop being enamored with these politicians as somehow going to be our saviors. Our savior, our strongest support will be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing everything we can do in our power to beg him and to do the things he's asked us to do, which will lead to victory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the pain and suffering of the Muslims all over the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace and comfort to the Muslims who are in Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise a generation of Muslims who will free Palestine from the hands of the criminals. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa'afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, innaka taqdi bil haqqi subhanak wa la yaqdi alayk, wa laka shukrana bima a'tayt, nastaghfiruka Allahumma min jami'i dhunubi wal khataya wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma alif baina qulubina, Allahumma wahhid safufana, Allahumma ihdina wahdi bina waj'alna sababan liman ihtala. Allahumma ansur al-islam wa 'izz al-muslimin wa dhill ash-shirk wal mushrikeen wa dammir a'da'aka Deen. Allah, we ask you to free Masjid al-Aqsa and the surrounding lands that you have blessed. Allah, we ask you to support the mujahideen who are there. Allah, we ask you to destroy the enemies and to destroy the Zionist powers who are there. Allah, we ask you to allow us to support them with our dua and with our wealth. Allah, we ask you to give us the strength to speak out for their cause. Allah, we ask you to educate us so we may better understand their situation. Allah, we ask you to give us the leaders in the Muslim world and here who will stand up for what that which is true. And Allah, that we have gathered us here today, we ask you to gather us in places like the Kaaba and in Medina and in Masjid al-Aqsa, so we may pray in the sanctity that you have given us in peace and in comfort. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقيم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, Hayya ala falah, Qad qamati salatu, Qad qamati salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Stawat rasu, yirhamni hamakumullah, keep your lines straight, keep your hearts focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the oppressed in your dua. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والنجم إذا هوى ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى الله أكبر. So سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank Dr. Usman Umar ji for his very strong message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the people of Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all the people who are oppressed and wronged in different parts of the world, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters in Kashmir, in Palestine, in China, in Burma, and a number of other places. But especially at this time, let us make a special dua for the people who are attacked and killed and became the shuhada in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate the Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of the zalimin, from the hands of the wrongdoers. Please make dua for the people who passed away and those who are not well. Make dua for their health. We have requests from several people. Shehnaz Madar, Sister Shehnaz Madar, Sister Kausar Khan, Brother Habib Ubaidi, Brother Sayyid Badruddin, Brother Shamim Ahmed, Brother Shabir Ahmed, Sister Zahirun Nisa Rahman, Sister Rida Akbar, Brother Abdul Mateen, and 9-year-old Fahim. May Allah give them shifa. Allahumma shfa anta shafi. La shafiya illa anta shifa an la yugadir usqma. Allahumma shfa mardana ya Allah. Allahumma shfa mardana wa mardal muslimin. Make dua maghfira for Noor Jaha Begum, passed away in Bangladesh. Brother Mujib Ubaidi, passed away. Brother Abdul Halim Khan, passed away in India. Sister Nasreen Sharif, passed away in Pakistan. Brother Ilyas Khair, and Sister Zarina Shah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them maghfira. Allahumma ghfir lahum wa rahamhum wa aafihim wa afu anhum. Allah bless them and give patience to their families. Barakallahu fikum wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqih Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi wa dhuwa'i ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim. Naam? Something lost? My brother has his iPhone is missing in the bathroom, so if you have any find, please give it to him, inshallah.